Welcome to the Tapestry of Scripture podcast, where we seek to follow just a few of the threads that weave their way through the entire biblical tapestry from beginning to end. The Tapestry of Scripture podcast is a ministry of the Little Church in the Vale in Gates Mills, Ohio. For more information, visit www.little.church. You can subscribe to this podcast and our sermon podcast at iTunes or Spotify.
In this episode of the Tapestry of Scripture, we are going to talk about how the Bible is the story of God reconciling the world to himself. The word reconcile means to restore friendly relations between or to cause to coexist in harmony. Thus, the goal of reconciliation is harmony, friendship, unity. And that goal takes us to creation, where after the sixth day, we read that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Elsewhere in the Bible, we are told that everything in the world has not only been created by God, but has also been created for him. This means that everything that exists is meant to do so in harmony, friendship, unity with God. However, inherent in the word reconcile is the fact that something has gone wrong. Whatever friendly relations that did exist have been broken to some degree. It doesn't take long to look around the world and realize that something has gone wrong with this purpose for which God created the world. Paul more or less sums up the problem in Romans 1 when he says about humanity that although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The origin of this brokenness is Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve sinned by not trusting God. The result of their sin was banishment from the garden. Yet even before they were kicked out, we can see God's goal of reconciliation in action as he makes garments for Adam and Eve and clothes them on their way out. As we continue in Genesis, we can see that humanity hurtled into greater and greater wickedness, resulting in God bringing judgment against sin via the flood, yet at the same time saving Noah and his family in the process. In some sense, humanity was starting afresh, yet not even that helped as sin continued to prevail. Several generations later, God chose a man named Abram from Mesopotamia, through whom he would set up a nation in the land of Canaan that would serve as his means to reconcile the world to himself. As the story continues, there are various threats to this plan, yet God continuously intervenes. For example, Sarah is barren, but God steps in so that she can conceive. A severe famine threatens Jacob and his family, but God used the heinous sin of Joseph's brothers for good. When the nation of Israel is enslaved in Egypt, God raised up Moses to deliver them from oppression. As Israel grumbled its way through the wilderness for 40 years, God inaugurated the law through Moses to show the seriousness of sin and how atonement can be made for it. Any one of these could have made the promise impossible to fulfill, but God consistently intervened so as to continue his purpose of reconciling the world to himself. As God brings Israel into the promised land, a particular cycle repeats itself several times in the period of the judges. Each cycle begins with peace in the land and Israel serving the Lord. Then the people do evil and they become enslaved. Israel then cries out to God and he raises up a judge and delivers them, leading to peace in the land. The same cycle repeats itself for several generations until the people of Israel reject God as their king and ask for an earthly king to rule instead. Despite God's warnings through Samuel, the people persist and proclaim Saul as their king. Things start out well, but his own sinfulness soon wreaks havoc through an unlawful sacrifice and a rash vow, leading to the Lord rejecting Saul. Of course, God was not surprised and knew that man's plan would not work. So in order to preserve his plan to reconcile the world to himself, God anointed David as king, a man after God's own heart. Similarly, things with David started out well, but his own sin eventually leads to significant problems for Israel. Despite this, God's plan becomes more clear as he makes a covenant with David, saying that he will raise up his offspring after him and establish him as king forever. While Israel flourished under David's son Solomon, it became clear that he was not the fulfillment of this promise. The nation soon split into two, and over the years was littered with kings who mostly did evil in the sight of the Lord. Unsurprisingly, the people followed and often lived lives full of idolatry and the worship of various gods. Yet God did not give up on his people. He continuously sent prophets to them, warning them of judgment for their sin, while also promising to save them. Through Isaiah, the Lord says, "Remember these things, O Jacob, and Israel, for you are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Despite these warnings and promises, sin prevailed and the people were taken captive, first by Assyria and later Babylon. Led by Nebuchadnezzar, Jerusalem was sacked and the Jews were taken from their land. Even in exile, God continued to send his prophets to the people. Through Ezekiel, God says that he will reconcile them and will put his spirit within them. They shall be his people, and he will be their God. After 70 years, God paved the way for Ezra and Nehemiah to bring the people back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city. Yet almost immediately, the people returned to their sinful ways, showing that something far greater was necessary for mankind to be truly reconciled to God. The Old Testament shows us that God is relentlessly unwilling to back out of his commitment to reconcile the world to himself. This is God's mission. Yes, he initially gave it to Abraham and by extension the nation of Israel, but make no mistake about it, it is God's mission. He continuously intervened through the lives of the patriarchs, the lives of Moses and Joshua, through the period of the judges, through the ups and downs of the monarchies in Israel and Judah, and through the exile and post-exile periods. All of this was pointing to the only true reconciliation, which is in and through Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He is not one who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, but without sin. Yet he suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled the world to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And so God reconciled the world to himself through the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, we can be restored to a right relationship with God. Along with that, he gives us his spirit as a down payment that we will be with God for eternity. In Christ, God gives us new life. Paul makes this restoration clear in Colossians 1 when he says that as a result of our sin, we were alienated and hostile in mind toward God and were doing evil deeds. But now through Christ, we have been reconciled and are presented as holy and blameless and above reproach. Instead of being alienated, we are made holy. Instead of being hostile in mind, we are made blameless. We are a new creation. Lastly, one of the most exciting aspects of God's reconciling the world to himself is that he now calls us to join him in this mission. As Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. This leads us to both a personal and practical application. First, let us worship and praise him for what he has done for us. Let us do this individually and also together corporately. Second, let us take on this role as ambassadors for Christ. Let us live our lives in such a way that they proclaim to our friends and family, we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
You've been listening to the Tapestry of Scripture podcast. A new episode will be published weekly or whenever we get around to it. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and to stay up to date with the latest teaching resources from Little Church in the Vale, look for us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @LittleChurchOhio. That's @LittleChurchOh.